Anybody have any thoughts from yesterday's Bible study about Romans 7? Besides Bojo thinking it was his bar mitzvah. The point of it is that we have the capacity to want to do good and the inability to do it. And every time we try to do good, we raise the evil one from the dead. Every time we try to do it right, up comes the evil one. Every time I try to do good, the evil one is present with me. That's what that says in Romans 7. I find then a law when I try or want to do good, the evil one is present with me. It's not just evil is present, it's the evil one is present with me. So the only answer, the only possibility is to stop taking yourself so goddamn seriously. Just abandon yourself. Don't worry about the little crap that goes on in your mind. Just abandon yourself. You're no longer your own business. Can anybody capture that for a minute? But every time you get seduced again by something is worrying you, or I've got this great weight, I don't understand this, or anything else.
And stop it.
Up jumps
stop
it.
It. I know. Stop it or I'll bury you alive in a box.
Why?
Have you ever seen that?
What are you talking
it's
about?
Incredible. It's an incredible comedy routine that Bob Newhart does about he's a therapist and this person comes to him and has spent his whole life in fear that he's going to be buried alive. And just says, stop it. Then the therapy is just telling him to stop it. And finally he gets so frustrated with the guy, he says, stop it or I'll bury you alive in a box.
So theology
totally
now comes from Bob Newhart. Normally it's songs, but now it's Bob Newhart.
I wish we could interview him.
You got to hear this. Are you going to continue to be in bondage? And this is crazy. You're going to continue to live in the tyranny of the evil one. I know Gary well enough to know that he probably spent 70% of the day yesterday living in tyranny, or the fruit of the tyranny of the evil one.
That's the old Gary.
That was yesterday's Gary? Just stop it. You got to know that there's no answer within you other than Christ. And He doesn't need your help, so you abandon. You cast your burden on Him, for He careth for you. His yoke is easy and His burden is light. It's the simplest thing in the world to just to be instead of trying to be.
Oh, I got to think about that.
No, you don't.
There's something I'm thinking about, and I can't quite express it too well. I was trying to talk to Joyce Adam about it, but it's this this idea of how dead is dead. And it's come about by having conversations with certain people who were talking about the cross. And they say, oh, yeah, I believe the cross, everything. But there's always this little... But there's some part I must play in this beginning.
Yeah, you can't speak about it until you live it. That's the game. It's beyond any kind of learning or words or anything. If you believe, if you live it, you will speak it. And it will have life, but it'll cause death to you. If it doesn't cause death to you, then it's not the gospel. I believe, therefore I speak. It's not whether anybody believes it or understands it, it's not my business. But believe in it, it doesn't mean I believe it like I intellectually believe it. Believe it is 100% reliance. Never leaning on your own arm of understanding. Never reverting to the world's ways. I mean, might as well go to Joel Osteen's church. Christians are champions. Here's how you get nice. Here's how you get happy. Here's how you get fixed. This is what you do to get that. This is what you do to get this. Do you understand, Gary?
Sure.
So you can't live it just when you're talking about it.
See, I know all that. That's not my point.
But Gary, it is. You just asked the question, is there some transaction with me?
You're kind of like my wife.
I'm exactly like her, probably.
You got to listen to all of my statements before you respond, or else you're responding to the wrong thing.
It doesn't matter what your words are. They're meaningless. They're tinkling cymbals.
If they have more meaning, you could listen to all of them.
No, they wouldn't.
See, this is difficult. Because I'm going to walk away from here and I'm going to say he didn't understand what I was talking about. Because he responded too quickly before I explained.
I knew what you were talking about before you said it. You're talking about the difficulty of explaining the living of the cross and the mystery of the cross to someone else. And I'm telling you, it is impossible to do because it's spiritual. It's impossible to speak about it if you're not living it.
Well, that implies I'm not living it.
That's up to you. I promise you, if you lived it, you would be speaking it without regard to whatever anybody else said. Are you living it?
I believe so. I mean, if after 30 years the gospel has no power in me, then I'm wasting my time.
But Gary, that's not the point. Of course, the point is that you still have a tendency to live two lives. You have a life that's here in the community and about the spiritual matters, and you have a life out there in which you struggle and plan and exert and cunning devices and all the rest of the illegal things.
I don't separate those two. Maybe you see something I don't. But I do my work. I do my business. And I don't see that that's not part of the whole.
It is. If it's the same mindset here as it is there.
Yeah, I don't disagree with that.
So you take no thought for your life, you take no thought for tomorrow. You always repent if there's any weight on you. If there's the slightest worry, and if it can't be met, you always go to your covering. No, you don't. Because Gary still thinks it's about him.
Well, I think that.
Gary, I just found out how much in terrible debt you were in. And I never heard about it until I heard it from your wife. It's the point. The point of the need is to draw us together so that there is an intimacy, a oneness. That's why need arises. How many times have we had this conversation over the years? I find out at First Fruit Meeting, my God, your life is a financial disaster. So you do this, you borrow money from there, you get something from there. And you don't have to do that. And that's what I'm speaking to. I want you to be 100% free. Instead of mad at me.
I'm not mad at you.
I'm just... Does any of that touch you? Well, that's because you're a Pollyanna. Talk to your wife.
What's Pollyanna?
Airhead. Okay. Remember, your only job is to make her feel secure. You've been given a very difficult job. But she has to feel secure emotionally, spiritually, financially, in every way. Husband, let's love your wife as Christ loved the church. He gave up everything for the church. And then we, as a body, the body can't have a need. It's impossible. So if an individual has a need, but doesn't let anybody know about it, then they're trying to be, it's still the isolation, the isolated self. Otherwise, you don't understand. If we don't see this, then we're still trying to perfect the isolated being. We're trying to get it right. We're trying to do something good. But his mystery is about us, not about me, not about you. It's about us, universal. Us from the very beginning of time. Us from Abel onward. And us all over. It's not about me, but it's worked out in the us of the satyrs, of the small groups. That's why everybody... You know what the attraction... You know, there are now a huge number of mega churches in America. And a mega church is they have to have so many people. But you know what the attraction by surveys of the reason for the mega churches, for their success, is because of it permits anonymity. It permits non-confrontation. This is terrible for me to do what I do to you. And you hate it. I'm talking about over a 30-year history.
Yeah. Uh-oh. Extra editors.
I just set that down by the way. Why
detector? Oh
my God. The moment he said it,
let me get the vibrate here.
I want each of you to know the difference between this life as an objective versus this life as lived. That's why I hate spectator sports, because it permits the illusion of life without you, your interaction. That's why I hate your silence. Because I know that many of the stuff I say has to create all kinds of crap within you. The whole idea of it, or what I really hate is when, well, okay, and we go through this, and I say something, and then you got to talk to me privately. I don't want to talk to you privately, unless it's a need. I want us to, whatever these things are going on, that they be worked out, that they be stated, that they be... Because whatever is going on within you and about you is for the benefit of the body. That's why his rod and his staff, they comfort us, because they drive us together so that we see that we're not living this mystery alone. And this has been the one complaint I've had for all these years, is you never come and talk. I mean, a handful of times in 30 years. And then I find out you've gone into more and more debt and more and more debt. And that's what I'm talking about. You don't understand the evil of debt because you do it so easily. Debt is pure evil. Don't you feel the weight of debt?
Nope. Only
when the calls start.
No, the only time I feel the weight is when I write too many checks on Friday and I got to cover them on Monday.
The best you can is going into more debt. That's not a solution. Debt is never a solution. And that's what makes me crazy, because I hear about it. It's up to you if you want to do it, if you like to live that way. I know Judy can't stand it.
We've done a variety of things.
That's not working. Debt is not doesn't mean, by definition, the debt means it's not working, unless it's, you know, some kind of amortized thing. But it's just an illusion. And it doesn't matter whether it's Jim borrowing $2 or you borrowing $15,000. Or 100,000, whatever it is. It robs the body, and it's robbing God. And if this is an area where there is no weight, even though there is that much apparent trouble, then you really have a problem. Then you need the body more than ever. Because weight, debt, is sin. That's why it says, forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Is any of that touching you? Do you understand debt is sin? But it doesn't, it's not, it's never been a weight on you. You just said that. And I know that's true. It's not a weight until some crisis happens in it that has to be dealt with, as you say, so something can gel. That's why you need much more vulnerability, because you have the capacity not to feel the weight. And that's nothing spiritual. It's sociopath, or it's some kind of a neuroses. Does anybody understand me? Or am I just talking?
It's kind of like daubing the wall with untempered mortar.
Well, it's not kind of like. It's exactly like.
It's a temporary fix. I'll move this over here and I'll borrow this and then... And then destruction won't come today. I can hold destruction off. And it's just the pressure behind the wall just gets bigger and bigger.
You know, and again, I'm not trying to pick on you. This is for the benefit of everybody else. But that doesn't justify it. The only time I've ever seen you come to me in dire need was when Angela, when you couldn't deal with Angela when she was a teenager. But every time we had the first fruit meeting, I looked at your condition. My God, what happened? Well, that means we shouldn't have first fruit meetings. The joke around here is when the first few years we had the Harry knows what's coming. Because Harry couldn't leave the block when anyone was having their first fruit meeting, because one of the issues is if you have anything against, you can't proceed, and plus if you have the slightest odd against anybody. Well, everybody had some kind of odd against Harry, so he couldn't leave the block. And you say, there he goes, screw him, he says. But somehow you should pray, and this may sound weird, but I'm going to pray it for you, even if you don't like it. I'm going to pray that the weight of debt becomes so heavy that you cannot bear it. I'm not going to. I just did. And I know this isn't the real you, because I've been with you when you did feel it and there was tears. But somehow you've managed to cope. It's just like everybody else. Again, everybody's got something they're dealing with that they cope with. And but because the evil one thinks it's good to cope, and it's the worst possible thing you can do is to cope, because you destroy peace, or else you water down peace so you wouldn't recognize peace if it smacked you in the face. You think peace is the absence of nuclear war? No, peace is the, by definition, peace is the absence of againstness, or better stated, the absence of even the weight of a handkerchief. No weight. And that's what debt is weight. And the most serious weight is the debt of not being able to meet what you think you should do. And I think this is where the problem is. Because over the years, you've always had these great dreams and ambitions, and they've all been thwarted. And so you've managed a system of coping so you don't recognize it. So you've lost the sensitivity. You don't recognize the weight as weight. And that's what people do when they've lived a life of disappointment. They create a scenario in which they can't feel the weight. Until it becomes so crushing that it does that touch anybody?
It reminds me of when Jesus said, "Unless you fall on the rock," I can't remember the scriptures.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Fall on the rock.
If you don't fall on the rock, the rock's going to fall on you. Because what happens is, let's look at this. And I hope I'm speaking to some other people, but let's go to Isaiah 50. I want you to see it written down so you don't think I'm making it up. Chapter 50, starting verse 4. The Lord God hath given me the tongue of the learned, that I should know how to speak a word in season to him that is weary. He wakeneth morning by morning. He wakeneth mine ear to hear as the learned. The Lord God hath opened mine ear, and I was not rebellious, neither turned away back. In Hebrew it says, and I even went so far as I gave my back to the smiters and my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame, and spitting. And that's what we do. We hide the shame. And the shame becomes the barrier. So, I mean, we twist it so that the shame that's really deep within us becomes our protection against feeling. Listen. I gave my back to the smiters, my cheeks to them that plucked off the hair. I hid not my face from shame and spitting, for the Lord God will help me. He alone is my protection. I don't have to play these psycho games anymore. And therefore I shall not be confounded. Therefore I have set my face like a flint. I know that I shall not be ashamed. He is near that justifieth me. Who's going to contend with me? Now let us stand together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near. Behold, the Lord God will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Lo, they all shall wax old as a garment. The moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? And that's another way of looking at it. If you can walk with debt, then even the light that's in you is darkness. And I'm talking to all of us. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Now let him trust only in the name of the Lord, and stay only upon his God, never upon his own devices. Behold, but the contrary, behold, all you that instead of what we just read, you kindle a fire that surround yourself about with sparks. Walk in the light of your fire and the sparks that you have kindled. And this shall you have of mine hand. You shall lie down in sorrow. I mean, this has got to speak to us with great clarity. Anybody not hear what this?
I have a lot of experience with debt. Thing that I was thinking about, and here it is that I would say, is that when you go into debt, it's right here in the first one where God says, or to which of my creditors is it up, to whom I have sold you? Behold, for your iniquity you have sold yourself. When you go into debt, you're selling yourself to the creditor.
And
the creditor owns you.
But that's really the God of this world.
Yeah. Make yourself a servant.
But it's interesting to me that trespass and sin in the New Testament is translated as debt. And if you can't feel the burden of sin and trespass, then the only thing that can happen is, I mean, you're inviting the Holy Spirit to become your enemy. Again, you are wearied in the greatness of your way. Thou sayest not, there is no hope. Thou hast found the life of thine own hand, and therefore thou wast not grieved. And therefore there can be no death, because there's always devices. So when the question is asked, what is death? The way it's manifested in you is 100% abandonment of self. Taking no thought for what you're going to do or how you're going to solve this or that. Peace. Because any action that defines methodology has to come from another source. Any additions? And we're all guilty of it. I'm not picking just on you.
Well, not to open a big discussion, but when we talk on this topic, the United States balance sheet comes to mind.
No, it's ridiculous. The balance sheet of the United States is like air. It used to be just Dallas was based on air because everything here was based on usury, but now the whole United States is based on air. They don't produce anything anymore. I mean, speaking metaphorically, but it's not like there's actual something that's being built and done. I mean, that's done somewhere else now. Now we just have an economy of air.
When you started talking this morning, you said something. I just jumped out of my seat and you said, "Stop taking yourself so damn seriously and just live."
Yeah.
It seems like people who call themselves Christians spend most of their time investigating minutiae, trying to find out how to act, analyzing behavior, analyzing thoughts, what's the right thing to do, what's the wrong thing to do, just like a retarded person in an asylum, just obsessed with how many times do I turn the doorknob or whatever. I mean, it's just crazy.
Which ones are you talking about?
Me.
Oh.
And you, and all of us, this obsession with going through our crap, and it's just live. I mean,
that's what the message of the cross is. How can you take yourself seriously ever again? How can you give any breath or importance to your feelings or your emotions? It's just crazy.
I was just thinking about what you were saying earlier about coping. It's like,
well, it's a lie. You don't want to do that anymore.
No. Didn't sound good at all.
So say, Father, if you just say, Father, forgive me now. I'm yours, Lord, again, without condition. Unconditional surrender. Can anybody do that this morning? Never again to pick up the pieces? Humpty Dumpty sat on the wall. Humpty Dumpty had a great fall. All the king's horses and all the king's men couldn't put them back together again, but Humpty put himself back together again. Then he went up and sat on the wall. Then he had another great fall. Do you have anything to add, Miss Josanna? Or subtract? Amen? Gary?
Not. I'm a little speechless right now.
Might be good. Kevin, you look like you either didn't sleep or you've been hit with a truck. Which one?
I dreamed about being hit with a truck.
Oh. I'm not going to talk to him. I'm not going to talk to him ever again.
Hard man to do it with.
Well, I can't. I'm. He's like he's dealing with an unarmed man. All right, take it, big guy.